King versus Bureau of Prisons, Mr. Lorenzini.
May it please the court, my name is Agostino Lorenzini. I'm appearing as amicus in this matter on the side of Mr. Anthony King. Your Honors, this is a Bivens action in which the defendants has refused to allow Mr. King to protect property interests which he had prior to his incarceration.
And further, what is he in prison for?
I'm not clear about that, Your Honor. I don't know what his crime was, Your Honor. There's nothing in the record, however, to suggest that it had anything to do with stocks or fraud.
You don't know what it's... You don't know.
That's correct.
Right.
In addition, the defendants refused to allow Mr. King to read a book on computer programming. The order on appeal dismissed Mr. King's complaint in its entirety as legally frivolous, and the issue only in this situation is whether or not the entire complaint is legally frivolous.
What is the programming language C++?
I believe it's a high-level programming language allowing computers to communicate.
Used for what?
I believe it's allowing computers to communicate and to provide directions to other computers.
It's a networking?
I think that's correct. The way the court saw Mr. King's complaint, they saw it as Mr. King complaining that he was not that the inmate telephone system was not allowing him to contact his stockbroker. That isn't what the complaint is about, Your Honor. The lower court acted too quickly and reviewed the complaint too summarily. What the complaint alleges is three things. First, that defendants denied him his First Amendment rights to contact an individual outside of prison, namely in this instance a stockbroker.
I don't understand what that has to do with the First Amendment. Talking to a stockbroker is about the First Amendment? That sounds absurd.
I believe that Mr. King has a First Amendment right to communicate with individuals outside of the prison.
Well, I don't understand that. How can the First Amendment... I don't understand. If you call up a barber and make an appointment for a haircut, is that speech protected by the First Amendment? What does it have to do with the values of the First Amendment? I think every time you open your mouth, you're protected by the First Amendment?
No, Your Honor, that's correct. You're not. However, that's an issue.
Well, then why is calling a stockbroker protected by the First Amendment?
It may not be, however.
I don't think it is.
The district court didn't consider that issue when it dismissed the case.
Well, why should it consider it? The issue has no merit. I don't understand you.
He did raise several other arguments, Your Honor.
That's good.
He raised an argument that the defendants refused
what
to allow.
What exactly is he? Did he want to talk to the stockbroker about?
Well, Mr. King had stock assets that he purchased prior to his incarceration. After his incarceration, he had made several phone calls to a stockbroker to protect the value of those stocks.
What do you mean protect the value? He owns stocks. Now, what's this about protecting the value?
Well,
no one's taking the stocks away from him.
Well,
right? So what's he wants to trade, right? He wants new stocks.
Well, I think what he's alleging is that when the value of his stocks goes south, he'd like to be able to call a stockbroker in order to protect that value of those stocks.
I don't understand you. If you own stock, you own an asset that fluctuates in value. So you might want to trade, sell, buy, so forth. But that's not the same thing as protecting your property. It's acquiring new property because you don't like the property you have.
I respectfully disagree. I mean, to the extent that he owned the property before his imprisonment and the value of that
property. You can't disagree.
Pardon me?
You can't disagree. He doesn't. Because he's not protecting his property. He wants new property, right? He wants to sell this stock. You just said so.
He wants to sell stock in order to protect the net asset that he.
Yes,
net
but
value
that
of the stock
theory that, would allow prisoners to engage in any business activities that they thought necessary to, maximize their wealth, right?
No, I don't believe that's
why
correct.
Why not? What's the
I think there's a distinction.
Where do you draw the line?
I think there's a distinction between protecting one's assets in this situation, the stocks.
No, and you're not protecting assets. You want new assets. That's what you said. You want to trade these assets for new assets. This stock for new stock.
Well, his conduct, Your Honor, I don't believe.
So that would be true with anything you owned. You have a lawnmower. You want to sell it, right?
Well, to the extent, for example, that he owned a home and he wanted to sell the home because its value was declining, I think he has a right, and I think the prison.
Well, what if he owns a business? Then you'd say he has a right to conduct a business.
He doesn't have
from the sale.
No, I don't.
Well, what's the difference? What's the difference whether his money is in stock or in a business?
The distinction, I think, that, well, first of all, the IRS recognizes that trading stocks is not considered a business. In trading stocks, he's not required to have a business license. He's not required to pay higher business taxes. And he certainly isn't managing the assets of other
individuals. He's not required to have a license for most businesses.
Going back to the analogy of it, whether or not he owned a home, for example, if the value of that property was declining, Mr. King has a right, I believe, to protect that value of that asset by contacting someone else to sell that home. Similarly, I think.
Where does that right come from?
Well, I think the right initially is guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment. He has a property interest in those rights. He owned the property prior to his incarceration. And there's no evidence or allegation that any of those rights were taken from him after his incarceration. In addition, the Bureau of Prisons has a program statement in which it allows inmates to protect assets by correspondence, which they own prior to incarceration.
By correspondence.
By correspondence.
And not by telephone.
Correct. However, this case is not simply relegated to his use of the telephone. The Mr. King is alleged that the Bureau of Prisons not only has stopped him from making telephone calls to his broker, but has also stopped him from making communications by letter or from a third party. excuse me. In addition, Mr. King, pardon me, apologize. The lower court didn't consider those questions. Instead, it considered whether Mr. King had a First Amendment right, a liberty interest in his stocks. And for that reason alone, the order should be reversed. In addition, there is a four-factor test which applies to determine whether or not the infringement by the prison is reasonable, and the court did not apply those four factors either in this situation. When they are applied, it's clear that the infringement is not reasonable. There's really no rational connection between stopping Mr. King from protecting assets or communicating with a stockbroker and the prison's interest in security. And how do we know this? We know this because the BOP has its own program statement in which it allows inmates to communicate by correspondence with individuals to protect assets that they own before. Consequently, denying Mr. King that right can only be irrational or arbitrary. Secondly, the BOP does not allow Mr. King any alternative to protect his interests. As I've stated, they've denied him the right to communicate by letter or by...
Well, he never tried to communicate by letter, did he?
That's correct. He never tried to communicate by letter. However, he didn't do so because the BOP threatened to prosecute him, threatened to bring disciplinary actions against him under various code provisions. One of those code provisions is abuse of the mail. Therefore, he didn't try to communicate by letter. But he's still bound by the rules and regulations.
Well, they didn't threaten him. He just thought they might, right?
Well, no, he alleges that they did threaten him with bringing those disciplinary actions against him.
Want to save the rest of your time?
Yes, thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Wyatt?
May it please the court, I'm Nathan Wyatt, an assistant United States attorney from the Southern District of Illinois. I represent the U.S. Bureau of Prisons and Charles Gilkey, the former warden at the Federal Correctional Institution at Greenville in this case. The district court dismissed the plaintiff's two claims raised in the pro se complaint as legally frivolous, and the district court's decision should be affirmed. I'd like to start by addressing the plaintiff's first claim regarding his...
Do you know why he's in prison?
Yes, Your Honor. My understanding is convicted of two counts, possession of firearm with an obliterated serial number, and possession of an explosive device during the commission of the felony, which I would presume the commission, the related felony, was the possession of the firearm with the obliterated serial number. But that's really all I know about the facts and circumstances. As the plaintiff's first claim regarding his alleged inability to manage his stocks, to the extent this is presented as a First Amendment argument, as Your Honor has pointed out, there's simply no authority.
Yeah, but he also argues, you know, it's his property and so on. He has a right to control it some way.
Sure, Your Honor. And to the extent it is presented as a some sort of procedural due process claim, there has to be a protected interest underlying the due process claim. And that interest has to come from either the Constitution or, in the case of a federal inmate, from federal law or regulation. To that extent...
Well, he owns the stock, doesn't he?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well,
he does own
the stock.
Well,
that's a property interest.
Correct. Your Honor, I'm not sure that a property interest is involved here because there's no allegation that the government, the Bureau of Prisons, has done anything affirmatively to take that stock away. It's better characterized as a liberty interest because what the plaintiff's complaint is that
he's... Whatever you call it, I don't understand. I mean, what if termites were eating his home? Would he be permitted to call an exterminator?
I don't know whether he would be permitted to call an exterminator.
Well, why? I
Your
don't
Honor,
understand. Why not? He has property. The property is being destroyed by the termites, so he wants to protect his property by calling an exterminator. What basis would the prison have for forbidding that?
I don't know what basis the prison would have
for
forbidding that.
Well, that's not very helpful if you don't know. That sounds like it would be arbitrary, right? So then the question is whether this is similar.
Well, this is not similar, Your Honor, because here the stock is not going away. The stock is not being destroyed.
Maybe going away in the sense, you know, its value plunging and so on.
But it's depreciating, arguably depreciating in value, Your Honor. But he was allowed. There is no dispute that he had an alternative means of communicating in order to protect his outside assets, legitimately his
time of incarceration. According to the plaintiff, he did. The Prison Bureau was also preventing him from using the mails. He was describing this as the unauthorized conduct of business, whether by mail or by telephone.
Yeah, there is simply no allegation that he ever attempted to contact his stockbroker through the mail. And I don't see an allegation that he was ever threatened with discipline should he choose to do so. There is speculation that he might be disciplined should he choose to contact his broker through mail. And that speculation appears to be based on the fact that he was previously charged with various violations based on his call to his stockbroker. But the record also shows documents submitted by the plaintiff that those charges, when they were appealed through the administrative process, were eventually dismissed and his record was expunged. So there's really no indication at all that he might be disciplined should he choose to contact his broker through the mail. To the contrary, 540.14, the regulation which Amicus seems to rely on, expressly provides, and what the statute basically does is it authorizes the warden to confiscate certain types of mail, including mail directing an outside business, but it makes an exception for mail necessary to protect assets legitimately held by an inmate at the time of his incarceration. So there's really no indication at all, and no allegation even.
Well, why don't they let him use the phone? I didn't understand. I mean, I realize they had a system that he couldn't use it, but he says he switched to another broker who has the right communications equipment to receive his calls. So why isn't he permitted to call that broker?
Yeah. frankly, I'm not sure that it's even clear that he's not permitted
well,
to call.
Well, you keep saying you're not sure, but this complaint was dismissed as frivolous, so we're supposed to, you know, interpret it generously. Now, he certainly... So it's not enough that you're not sure of what he's claiming. Are you going to make a binding commitment on behalf of the Bureau of Prisons that he can call his broker?
No, Your Honor, but the question is whether his inability to call his broker
is
a constitutional violation.
But why would if the prison permits him to make any phone calls, why does it forbid him to call a broker?
I don't know why the Bureau of
Prisons. Well, you've got to have a reason. Otherwise, it's an arbitrary interference with his property interest.
Well, it's an interference with his ability to contact his broker by telephone. He has apparently every right to do so by mail.
What is the sense? If he's allowed to make phone calls, why isn't he allowed to call a broker?
Your Honor, the record shows that he called his broker on several occasions before the phone system was switched. No discipline. He called his broker on one occasion on December 24, 2001.
That's why I'm asking you to make a commitment that he's free to call his broker.
Your Honor, I don't think I have authority to make that commitment on behalf of the Bureau of Prisons.
Well,
I would argue.
Why don't you just say there's no reason to prevent him from calling his broker, and then if the prison tries to enforce that, we'll say the prison's lawyer conceded there's no possible reason to prevent him from calling his broker.
There very well may be reasons why the Bureau of Prisons.
What is it?
Your Honor, the question today...
Give me a reason why it's okay for him to write the broker but not call the broker.
Your Honor, I can neither give you a reason why
well,
it's not okay...
Well, if you can't give me a reason, then it sounds as if that would be a completely arbitrary prohibition.
The question isn't whether it's an arbitrary prohibition to use the phone.
No, that is a question, whether it's an arbitrary prohibition. Because if it's arbitrary, it's illegal.
Not if prisoners don't have a protected right in the first place to use the telephone.
It's not the right to use the telephone. It's the right to protect your property.
He has a right to do that, Your Honor, through the use of the mail.
No, you don't understand. What if his house is burning down? He wants to call the fire department. Are you going to say, oh, well, he doesn't have to use the phone. He can write the fire department. Is that the kind of argument you want to make?
No, Your Honor, that's not the argument.
That's a stupid argument, right? So you're not going to make that.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, if he's allowed to protect his property interest in stock, his stocks from becoming worthless by mail, why can't he do it by phone?
There is no indication that he cannot, Your Honor. I am not authorized today on behalf of the Bureau of Prisons to say that he can do so. There's no evidence in the
now,
record that he is prevented
from... Now, what about the computer business? Why don't they want him to have the book on computer programming?
For prison officials, this is a security.
But I don't understand. He doesn't have access. This is something about networking. He doesn't have access to a network. So what harm can he do to the prison computer system?
Your Honor, as I'm sure the court is aware, there are all sorts of items
and
places.
No, I'm not aware. I'm not aware of anything. You tell me what the security problem is here.
The security problem, Your Honor, is the computers are integrated into the security system.
No, apparently they're not. The inmates do not have access. They may have laptops or something. They don't have access. Their laptops are not connected to the prison network. Isn't that true?
That is true, Your Honor. And
well, then how can he use his knowledge of networking to screw up your computer system?
Your Honor, there are all sorts of items and places in a prison that are off limits to inmates, which prisoners are able to access improperly. Prison officials have determined that there is a risk that prisoners might improperly access the computer network, and the computer programming knowledge might then pose a security concern.
I mean, he's going to somehow break into the network? How is he going to do that?
Well, maybe he'll email his broker.
Your Honor,
he can't email his broker, right? He's not connected to anything. Right?
I think Bureau of Prisons officials are better able to make that determination, whether or not that's a legitimate security concern
Well,
or
have
not
they
based
made
on
that
experience.
Determination?
They have them made that determination.
Well, have they explained to anybody why, how it is that even though he can't get into the network, you know, unless with a crowbar or something, how he's going to use his knowledge of networking to screw up their system?
Prison officials have determined there's a risk.
Well,
have
they explained? Have they explained how that risk might materialize? What might he do? Is there anything in the record on that?
There's nothing in the record on that, Your Honor.
We're here on a is it a 12B6 motion to dismiss?
There was no response by the government in the district court, Your Honor. This case was dismissed on threshold by the district court.
You never got to that
point. I see my time is up unless there are any other questions.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Wyatt. Okay. Mr. Lorenzini, anything further? How much time does he have? 1 minute?
Just a quick word on rebuttal, Your Honor. The government apparently now is conceding that Mr. King has a right to contact his broker by letter. They're not clear as to whether or not he has a similar right to do so by telephone. I want to make it clear that Mr. King is not asking for any special treatment. He's not asking for additional telephone time. He's not asking for additional access to the telephone. He's simply asking for when he is allowed to access the telephone, according to prison regulations, that the broker be an individual whom he can contact. With that, I'd like to rest, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were requested to represent. Well, we thank you for your efforts on his behalf, and we thank Mr. Wyatt as well.